Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Red Rock Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Jordan Schultz and I'm your host. I'm very excited to get this new project rolling. A big shout out to Josh Lloyd of Red Rock Fantasy Basketball for giving me this opportunity. When we put out a preview episode about 2 weeks ago, I was going to be hosting this along with the co-host, but he had some other things come up. So as of now, I'm going to be hosting this show solo. Just a couple of things to knock out right when we start. It's technically July 5th here, but it's just a little after midnight where I'm recording from. So if you guys hear any big loud bangs in the background, it's just people outside lighting off some fireworks still. So nothing to worry about there. Today we're going to take a look at the quarterbacks and kind of how they project in this upcoming season. And we'll just go ahead and jump right into it. So the number one player on my board as far as quarterbacks I regarded is Cam Newton. I don't think there's a lot of surprise there. This past season, he threw for 3,837 yards, had 35 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. But, of course, what makes him an exciting fantasy player is his ability to put the ball down and run. Last year, he had 636 yards with 10 touchdowns. His combo of passing and rushing ability is, too much to pass on for me at number one. You know, he's got Kelvin Benjamin coming back into the mix. So I do think that could help him, take a little bit more of a step as a passer. There is a chance that his rushing could regress a little bit. I don't think that you should count on him for 10 rushing touchdowns, although if he did hit that number, I wouldn't be shocked by any means. But I do think that he's a pretty safe bet for your number one quarterback. Like I said, you got Kelvin Benjamin coming back. Devin Funchess looked good down the stretch. Ted Ginn, or Ginn, of course, can stretch the field. Although Ginn's not very reliable, there's multiple clips of him last year dropping wide open touchdowns. But overall, I do like Cam Newton number one overall. I'm not really too worried about that. I wouldn't overthink it. While a lot of people, and rightly so, think in fantasy, especially in, your redraft league, especially if you play, 10, 12-team leagues, you can wait on quarterback. Well, that's definitely true. Like, you can get some good value later in the draft. But the two leagues I won last year, I had Cam Newton as my quarterback, and I don't think that that was, a fluke. I had a good advantage at the quarterback position every single week. So I do think if you can get that without having to sacrifice, some depth with your running back and wide receivers, I don't hate that at all. So we'll go ahead and move on to my number two player at quarterback, and that's Russell Wilson. He's an interesting case. Last year he threw for over 4,000 yards, had 34 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. He's like Cam Newton, another guy that puts the ball down and runs. He had about 550 rushing yards, only crossed the end zone once as a runner, which I wouldn't be surprised to see that jump up, especially with Marshawn Lynch leaving the team. Obviously, he was kind of a non-factor down the stretch anyways during the regular season. But now that he's gone, I really think that this is the year that they're going to let Russell Wilson really unleash himself as a quarterback. He's definitely a guy I like a lot, especially in Dynasty as well. He's a guy I'm trying to buy a lot of stocks in now if you don't have a good quarterback. I do think there's room for him to kind of bump up those passing yards a little bit. And as well as, I think that about 500 rushing yards, that's probably right. You can probably maybe a little bit less between 400 or 500, but I do think there's a good chance that he crosses the end zone more than once as a runner this next year. So I do think there's some untapped fantasy potential there. The next guy we're going to talk about, that's Aaron Rodgers. He's my number three player on this quarterbacks list. There's not a lot you really need to say about him. He's, discount double check. He's a superstar. If you would prefer him to, over Cam Newton or Russell Wilson, I couldn't knock you too much. In comparison, last year was a little bit of a down year for him. He threw for, under 4,000 yards, only had 31 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. But I do think those numbers look jump back up with Jordy Nelson coming back. It looks like Eddie Lacy slimmed down a little bit, so hopefully they get a little bit more production out of him. Hopefully that offensive line can do a better job of keeping him upright. They did bring in some pieces on that offensive line, so hopefully that'll help out his numbers a little bit. Granted, he is one of the best players in the league about improvising, rolling out, and creating space, but you'd like him to be able to stay up a little bit more. So yeah, like I said, he's my number three. If you bumped him up to one or two, I wouldn't really fault you by any means. So then the next guy we're going to talk about, and this is a guy that'll close out what I would consider my tier one of quarterbacks for fantasy, and that's Andrew Luck. Obviously, he didn't play in a lot of games. I think he only played 8 games last year. And in those games he did play, he was, far from spectacular. Under 2,000 yards, only 15 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Don't forget about how special this guy is. He was just banged up last year. The Colts were kind of a mess. I think he's going to come back in a big way this year, and he's going to win some people some leagues because he's going to drop a little bit too far. And like I said, he's going to bring some titles to some fantasy teams out there. So I'm not hesitating to grab Luck as my QB1. I'm not overthinking that at all. After Luck, it does get a little bit murky when you move down the list a little bit. My next three guys are some guys that are kind of getting up there in age, but they do have some decent weapons surrounding them. And the one guy I have at the top of that list is Carson Palmer. While he is arguably one of the bigger injury risks out of these next three guys I'm going to list, I do think he has the best offensive weapons, you know, surrounding him. Last year he threw for over 4,500 yards, had 35 touchdowns, just 11 interceptions. Not going to do much for you in rushing, but as long as he can sit in that pocket and, you know, find John Brown, Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, I think he's going to be able to put up a lot of fantasy points. You know, not to mention he's got David Johnson. You can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I do think that if you get Carson Palmer, you're going to be able to get him late, like probably late rounds 8, 9, 10, and I think he's, you know, excellent value right there. The next guy on my list, that's Ben Roethlisberger. The Martavis Bryant suspension hurts him a little bit, but he does still have Antonio Brown, so I wouldn't shy away from making him my QB1. He is another guy that has struggled with injuries over the last few years, although I do think he's probably the toughest quarterback in the league. Even playing banged up a lot last year. I think he missed four games. He still almost threw for 4,000 yards. The 21-16 touchdown interception ratio isn't exactly what you'd like to see, but I do think as long as Antonio Brown is there and healthy, he's going to have no problems putting up fantasy numbers, especially where you're going to be able to get him in drafts. And then Drew Brees closes out my second tier of fantasy quarterbacks this next season. He still threw for just under 5,000 yards last year, 4,870. He had 32 touchdowns with 11 interceptions. You could already kind of see them start to shift to more of a run-heavy attack last year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that kind of continue and maybe go a little bit heavier. You know, Mark Ingram isn't a model of health by any means, but he's a damn good running back when he's healthy. So that's why I have him down at 7. I do prefer Palmer and Roethlisberger to Breeze this year. The age is kind of getting up there. While he's not, you know, ancient by any means, he is getting up there. He's kind of at that age where it seems like quarterbacks can tend to drop off, but I'm not really expecting a big drop off. I expect somewhere, you know, that 4,600 to 4,800 yards passing still. 30 touchdowns seems about right. You hope you can keep those interceptions down. Obviously, he's got Brandon Cooks, who's one of my favorite receivers. We'll talk about him more in a few weeks when we get to our wide receiver preview. But I'm not really shying away from Breeze, especially he's another guy you can get a little bit later. I think he does still have, you know, a good year or two left in him. So then moving on to the next guy, next tier of what I would consider, you know, the third tier of fantasy quarterbacks. This guy might surprise you. I have Blake Bortles at the top of that. The one thing I do like about him is he's a very underrated rusher. A lot of people don't realize it. He did have 310 rushing yards last year, you know, had two touchdowns, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that two touchdowns get up closer to that 3, 4, or 5 mark, which doesn't seem like a lot, but I mean, you know, those are 6 fantasy points compared to 4 for your standard league for passing touchdowns. Passing-wise, last year, he did throw for over 4,400 yards, had 35 touchdowns to 18 interceptions. He's got some great weapons on the outside with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. Hurns is another guy that I'm pretty big on, and, you know, I don't have to tell you about Allen Robinson. That guy's one of the top 5 receivers in the league. I do think that he's going to continue to improve, and those numbers are going to continue to grow. There's a lot of talk out there about, you know, that attack maybe regressing a little bit because they did add, you know, some solid pieces in their running game. But I do think that, in a way, is going to open up more passing lanes for Bortles. I do think that he's going to surprise some teams this year. The next guy on my list is Andy Dalton. He was on his way to a career season last year before he got injured. Finished the year with 3,200 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions, which is, you know, pretty solid. The one big knock on him was, you know, he'd throw those, you know, crushing interceptions, and he had that, for the most part, it eliminated that last year. So he is a guy I'm not afraid to, you know, make my QB1. He's going to go in that range where you could probably go back to back, you know, grab a guy like Dalton and then, you know, say an Eli Manning and Jameis Winston and then just kind of stream from there on out. So he is a good value play there. He's got, you know, Andy Dalton on the outside. They added some nice pieces in free agency in the rookie class. So I do think there's room for Dalton to continue to improve. I've heard a lot of talk about them using some 2-back sets this year, you know, getting Geo and Jeremy Hill on the field, which is great for his value because Geo is one of the best pass catching backs in the league. So I do think there's room for him to get, you know, some extra fantasy points there. The next guy on my list, we got Kirk Cousins. Kind of an interesting case. He was a good, solid fantasy producer last year. He's a good low-end quarterback one. I love the Doxson ad. That's going to give him a great weapon on the outside. With DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon kind of getting up there in age, I do think he's going to be the future there. Obviously, you know, he made Jordan Reed a monster, and as long as he can stay healthy, I think Cousins are going to be able to put up, you know, solid fantasy numbers. So after we get past these guys, we kind of get into that range of players where it's kind of murky. I don't know if I'd want them to be, you know, just my quarterback one unless I had a better quarterback two to back them up. Starting off the list there for me is Eli Manning. Last year he had 4,400 passing yards, 35 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. I think they're going to be throwing the ball over the yard now. Sterling Shepard, poses a nice threat to go opposite Odell Beckham Jr., who's, you know, arguably the best receiver in the league. If they can get anything out of Victor Cruz, that's just going to be gravy. So I do think the stars are kind of aligning there for Eli to have a good year. He's got, you know, a good head coach to throw the ball around the yard. So I do like him quite a bit. The next guy on my list is Jameis Winston. I know 12 might seem a little bit high, but this is a guy I think I'm going to end up with in a lot of leagues this year. I do love this guy's game. As a rookie last year, he threw for over 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. You know, it's like pretty close to, you know, where guys like Andrew Luck was as a rookie. So I do think he had, you know, one of the better rookie seasons in recent history. I'm not going to be surprised to see him take another step forward in year two. Obviously, you know, Mike Evans is a stud. If they can do a better job of getting their chemistry down, I think that the sky is really the limit. He's a guy that I wouldn't be surprised to see finish in the top eight at the end of the year and, you know, really surprise some teams. The next guy I want to talk about is Tom Brady. As of now, he's got a four-game suspension hanging over him. If you could tell me for sure that suspension would be lifted, he'd absolutely be in my top five, probably right behind Andrew Luck. Finishes the number two quarterback in most scoring formats last year. You know, had an amazing year, 4,700 passing yards, 36 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions, which is, you know, how many Andy Dalton threw in 12 games. So I don't need to tell you about him. He's, you know, one of the greatest of all time. It's just that suspension does make it tough, but, you know, say if you can grab a guy, like I said earlier, like an Eli Manning or Jameis Winston to tie you over until Tom Brady gets back, I mean, that's going to give you quarterback one production when you put those two together. So I do like him if he drops, but you do have to understand there's a good chance that you're going to miss four games out on, which, you know, that's a quarter of the fantasy season. That definitely adds up. So then we'll go down to the next guy, which is where it kind of gets to a little bit more murky when we're talking about these quarterbacks, a little bit less of a sure thing. We got Phillip Rivers coming in next for me at number 14. Last year threw for just under 4,800 yards, 29 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Him and Keenan Allen really looked like they were developing, you know, a very, very good chemistry before he got hurt. Melvin Gordon disappointed last year. Unless he takes a big step forward this year, I could see that offense being a little bit one-dimensional. I could see them being down in a lot of games and having to get a lot of garbage times, which, I mean, hey, points in garbage time count just the same as points in the first and second quarter. So he's a guy that, as you know, a quarterback too, I would love to have on there to stream with. You know, if you do end up with one of those guys and kind of that Eli, Jameis, Tom Brady range as your quarterback one. The next guy hits home a little bit for me as a Cowboys fan. That's Tony Romo. I think talent-wise, he's probably, you know, one of the top 7-8 quarterbacks in the league. But at this point, I just don't really see how you could trust him to be healthy if you draft him as your quarterback one. It's hard to tell. Only played in, I think, 4 games last year. 884 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. So it's not like he was great by any means when he was in there. I do think if, you know, you are still holding on to Romo in a dynasty league, it's a little bit too late. You should have been moving on from him a while ago. In a redraft league, as much as it pains me to say, I'm probably not touching him this year. I do think he could have a big bounce back year. Those collarbone injuries are really, really adding up. I'm not too huge on that, but I mean, like I said, he could really blow up like he has in the four. He's got Dez Bryant. That's a good weapon out there. The addition of Ezekiel Elliott could help take some pressure off of him like it did, similar to when DeMarco Murray was there. So there is some upside there, but there's other guys that are going to go around him that I'd rather take a chance on, including the two guys that are coming in after him. That's Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford. I'll start with Matt Ryan. Definitely has some, you know, solid weapons. You got Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman. So there's some great, you know, great targets for him there. But even with that, he wasn't great last year. He had, you know, good yards or good season passing wise. In regards to yards, you know, just under 4,600 yards. But then you look at the 21-16 touchdown interception ratio. That's not great by any means. So I don't really get why he's not a better fantasy quarterback. He's never really been that great of a fantasy quarterback. He's been steady, but never going to be a guy that's going to finish in your top five. Seems like he's, you know, pretty much locked in for a quarterback 10 to 14 range most years, so I think you could do better. Matt Stafford, he's a guy that closed out the year fantastically last year. I want to say over the last 6 or 7 games, he was a quarterback 5 or 6, so the upside's there, but he's also coming back this year without Calvin Johnson, which is going to be a huge story. You know, you take a guy like Calvin Johnson from any quarterback, and I think it's reasonable to expect some regression. With that being said, he still did throw for 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, so that was pretty solid there. He's got Theo Riddick coming out of the backfield, who is a guy that I feel like I'm going to end up with in pretty much every single league, especially if you play in PPR. I think he's got a good chance to be a little bit of a safety valve for Stafford. He could get those cheap little dump offs that turn into, 20, 30 yard gains, and then that's, a couple extra fantasy points here and there. A lot of this offense is going to be predicated on how Eric Ebron continues to develop in the tight end slot, and if Golden Tate can, really step in and be that wide receiver one on an NFL team. I'm not 100% sure. That's why I do have him ranked down at 17, but he's another guy similar to, the Tony Romos and the Matt Ryans that do have, a lot of, probably higher upside than some of the guys listed ahead of him, but I do think they do have a lower floor, especially with the changes coming there. So the next kind of tier of where I have them broken down, these are guys that I do like better in a dynasty league. I don't think they're going to do what you're looking for in a redraft league, unless you're just going complete punt quarterback and you're just planning on streaming the entire year. The top of this next tier, we got Derek Carr. Obviously, he's got Amari Cooper. That's a great target to grow alongside. Michael Crabtree really emerged last year, and I think that they're going to continue to show that chemistry. He threw for just under 4,000 yards, 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Like I said, gets a good bump in dynasty. Maybe you could do okay if you maybe grab him as your quarterback too. If you get Tom Brady, he's not a bad fill-in for the first 4 weeks. I think there is some upside there with Carr. The next guy is Marcus Mariota. I'm not a huge fan of him, especially in a redraft league, but he does have the legs to be a fantasy producer, that's kind of where it seems like quarterbacks can separate themselves a little bit. So he does have those legs, but even with that, he had 252 yards rushing and only two touchdowns. One of those came on an 87-yard touchdown, so you take that away, and even those running numbers look kind of pedestrian, similar to like a Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton type rushing season, which you want to see more out of. Obviously, health was an issue with Mariota as well. So he's a guy I'm kind of probably going to avoid this year unless it's a dynasty league. I do think he's probably, I don't know if it's necessarily a buy low at this point, but I do think you could get him for cheaper and there's a chance that he could turn it around and give you a good investment. But he's a guy that I'm probably not touching in a lot of leagues. Next guy on the list at number 20, that's Tyrod Taylor. Last year with the Bills, he had 3,000 yards passing, 20 touchdowns with 6 interceptions, and he did have those juicy running stats, 568 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns. I was all over this guy last season. I think he, when you watch him play, it's pretty apparent he's a good quarterback. I don't know if Rex Ryan's ever going to let them, unleash Sammy Watkins to really be that quarterback one that you can depend on week in and week out. So yeah, it's kind of tough to say what's going to happen there. You look behind him, there's EJ Manuel, Cardale Jones. I'm not particularly huge on any of those guys, especially in fantasy. But I do think that if Tyrod Taylor continues to lock down that starting job and they'll let him throw, unleash Watkins a little bit more, I do think there's room for him to maybe jump up near quarterback 10 to 12. But definitely a guy I'm kind of more cautious on. Next guy on the list, we got Ryan Tannehill. Last year, he threw for 4,200 yards, 24 touchdowns with 12 interceptions. I think it's fair to say it's kind of a make or break year for him this year. Compared to where the expectations have been set, he's kind of been a disappointment every single year, essentially. I don't really understand why you want to take Ryan Tannehill when you got a guy like Alex Smith right after him who, he's not going to be spectacular by any means, but he's solid. You know what you're going to get out of him every year. When you're talking about your backup quarterbacks, there's few guys more steady and solid than Alex Smith. You got Jamaal Charles, hopefully coming back healthy this year, adds another dimension to that offense. Another guy that, he's a good pass catcher, so that's another safety valve for Alex Smith. So I do think that if, you get like a riskier quarterback one, Alex Smith is a good quarterback two to pair him with because, he's going to be there. He doesn't really miss games. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get 10 to 15 fantasy points most games out of him. So like I said, not spectacular, but solid. And so then after this, it gets really murky. This is when we're kind of talking about, the bottom tiers of the quarterbacks. The top of this list for me, though, is Teddy Bridgewater. Still a guy I like quite a bit in Dynasty. I'd rather roll the dice on him than, the next four or five guys we'll talk about. Last year, he threw for 3,200 yards, had only 14 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. So that's, a lot of room for improvement there. They added Laquon Treadwell there in the draft. So that's, one of the guy that at one point was getting looked at as a generational talent. I know his 40-yard dash time in the combine really kind of turned some guys off to him, but it's tough to say in the combine. You don't win games at the combine. You don't win games in shorts and, no helmets, no pads. So it is tough to see there, but I do think he is definitely the highest upside of some of the guys we're going to talk about moving forward. He did, rush for 3 rushing touchdowns last year. I do think there's room for more rushing yards there. He had under 200 yards. I wouldn't be surprised to see with him finish closer to 250 and 300 yards most years. Next guy on the list, we got Brock Osweiler taking over as the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. Obviously, he's got DeAndre Hopkins, which has, you know, been a fantasy stud no matter who's been there. Osweiler's arguably the best quarterback he's had. Looked okay in Denver last year, finished with just under 2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns with 6 interceptions. Obviously got benched in the playoffs for Peyton Manning, but I think that was more because they just wanted to lean on their defense and let the veteran like Peyton kind of just manage the game, kill, like, not necessarily kill the clock, but control the clock, control the tempo of the game, and it worked out for him. Felt disrespected in the contract negotiations in the offseason, so he bolted. I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. So I do think he's a guy that could end up much higher on this list next year, but in a redraft league, I'm probably not going to touch him. He is interesting from a dynasty perspective. You don't really have to, probably won't have to pay a lot to get him, and he could have a big return. So in a dynasty, a guy I'm taking a harder look at. Next guy down on the list, we got Sam Bradford. I mean, would anyone be surprised if by the end of the year, Carson Wentz is a starter? I don't really think you invest that high of a pick in a quarterback just to, you know, sit him on the bench for, you know, year after year. Bradford was obviously, you know, not pleased with that selection. I want to say at one point he demanded it, or was not demanding, but was, you know, requesting to be traded. Obviously they didn't grant him that wish. A lot of transition coming in Philadelphia this year. It will be interesting to see what they have there. Ryan Matthews, as of now, looks like the running back one. If, you know, anybody told me he's going to miss time next year, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And that really takes away another aspect of their game, makes their offense more one-dimensional. So I think as far as redraft leagues go this year, I'm probably going to avoid most Philadelphia quarterbacks. If, you know, they blow up, I can live with it, and they'll blow up on somebody else's team. Moving down from there, we got Joe Flacco. He's kind of meh, like I could kind of do without him. He's, you know what you're going to get out of him. He's got a big arm. He's going to take chances. Last year before he got injured, 14-12 touchdown interception ratio. So that's nothing to ride home about. Moving down from there, we got Jay Cutler. He's another guy, if he wasn't signed through 2020, I don't think he'd still be getting this many chances as a starter. He's had Alshon Jeffrey there, who's, you know, one of the more talented receivers in the league. Obviously, he's missed his fair share of time with injury, and that hurts Cutler, but when you watch Cutler, he's just, you know, a chronic underperformer. I'm kind of off the train, and I was big on Cutler a couple years ago, and I'm off of it at this point. So then moving down to, you know, the last 5 or 6 quarterbacks on the board, we got Robert Griffin III. He's never going to be the guy he was as a rookie, but he's a guy I'm kind of waiting to see on. You can get him for cheap. He's probably out there on waivers in a lot of your dynasty leagues. Could turn it around, but I'm not really counting on it, especially, you know, with all the turmoil that's going on in Cleveland. Granted, they have made some good moves this offseason, you know, flipping, you know, some of their high picks for, you know, future picks down the road and later picks in the draft. So they are turning the corner there. I don't think Robert Griffin's going to be there when they finally turn it around and are competing for a playoff spot. So he's a guy, like I said, wait and see on, but don't give anything of value to go get. Moving down from there, we got Mark Sanchez. As of now, he's listed as a starter. They did, you know, trade up to get Paxton Lynch in the first. So a guy that I'm kind of, you know, cautiously optimistic about. He has some great weapons around him. Unfortunately, he is Mark Sanchez, so that is one big negative going against him. After that, we got Blaine Gabbert. He looked pretty good in the times that he got playing time, but I would rather Kaepernick be the starter for talking about fantasy perspective, just because I do think he has a better chance to do damage on the ground game. Granted, Gabbert ran for 185 yards and a touchdown in about half a season. I do think Kaepernick's the guy you're going to want there from a fantasy perspective, and if he's not starting, I'm probably going to stay away from it. The Chip Kelly aspect there is interesting, but I mean, there's so many other guys you can get in that same range that are going to have much higher floors, and when you're talking about this late, those are the guys I want to go get. So then, you know, number 31 for me, we got Jared Goff, rookie quarterback. I don't dislike this guy in Dynasty. I think he's a good buy, but I'm not going to touch very many rookie quarterbacks in a redraft league. And then finally coming in as the last ranked starting quarterback for me, we got Geno Smith in the New York Jets. You know, he's got Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker to throw to, but nah, I'll pass on Geno Smith. They should have just paid Fitzgerald and brought him back and tried to bring it back one more year. So now after this, we'll kind of transition into a few guys that, as of now, are not penciled in as starters, but they're guys that I do think have some potential in your dynasty leagues long-term down the road. The first guy is Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, he's a guy that is going to probably start for the first 4 weeks unless that suspension gets overturned. Be interesting to see what he can do. You know, in the limited time he's got in the preseason, he's looked pretty good. So definitely a guy that maybe, if, you know, if you do get Tom Brady, go grab Garoppolo in, you know, the last round and then just kind of roll with that. If it blows up week one, then go grab someone else on waivers. Guy I did mention, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a free agent as of now. Last year had, you know, threw for just under 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. it's surprised he's still a free agent, but he is demanding a lot of money. So I guess in that sense, it's not that surprising. But I would keep an eye on him if he did get signed and land in a spot that there was, you know, say he lands in San Francisco or back in New York. I do think he steps right back into the starter and probably a top 20 at worst fantasy quarterback. So he's a guy that's a good guy to pair with a riskier quarterback one if you want to stream and play the matchups. And then, you know, other guys we mentioned, we got Carson Wentz, good stash in Dynasty, very interesting fantasy potential. It's always kind of interesting to see how those stats translate from small school college ball. But I do like what I've seen from him on the little bit of film that I have watched. Another round one quarterback we're going to talk about, Paxton Lynch. I already kind of said a little bit with him. Wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year he's overtaken Mark Sanchez as a starter. And if so, you know, he's got Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas to throw to. Those are some great weapons. Denver did trade up to get him for a reason. You know, John Elway's obviously done kind of a mixed bag with quarterbacks. You know, he did a good job getting Peyton Manning in there, and they had some good years. But at the same time, you know, he had Tebow for a while. But, you know, kudos to Elway for moving off from that Tebow experiment quickly. So Lynch is a guy that I'll probably stash in Dynasty. But, I mean, as far as a redraft, he has, you know, little to no value. Colin Kaepernick, we already mentioned a little bit. Not really sure what went wrong with him. If he does step back into that starting role, he does have an interesting skill set in regards to a Chip Kelly offense. There could be some sneaky potential there, but a guy similar to, you know, RG3, I'm not giving up anything of value to go get him. I don't even think he's guaranteed that he's going to be the starter this year. So that's all you really know about Kaepernick. Moving down from here, we're talking about some deep stashes. We got in Arizona, Matt Barkley. I don't think he's going to do much this year, but like we mentioned earlier in the show, Carson Palmer hasn't been a model of health by any means. I think if he were to go down, Barkley would be the starter, but you know, who knows if he's even going to be any good if he does get that role. Moving down, you know, in Chicago, Brian Hoyer. Like I mentioned before, if Cutler wasn't signed through 2020, I don't think he'd be getting this many chances to keep the starting job. Hoyer's shown he's a serviceable quarterback, probably better in real football than fantasy, and that's not saying much because he's not a great fantasy quarterback as well. Buffalo, you got, like I mentioned, EJ Manuel, Cardale Jones. If, you know, Tyrod Taylor were to lose a job or get hurt, neither of those guys I'm super interested in redraft. I do think Cardale Jones is kind of an interesting dynasty play, but he's, you know, one of those guys that you sit if you have, you know, maybe a taxi squad or, you know, you have enough roster spots to stash a guy for 3 to 4 seasons. Next guy I want to talk about, Dak Prescott. Kellen Moore, I think, is slotted in as the number 2 in Dallas right now, which is, you know, kind of a valuable spot to be in because Romo hasn't been the model of health the last few years, and I do prefer Prescott to Moore as a backup. I do think that he's another guy that could maybe put up some sneaky running stats and have that extra little fantasy value. So if Romo does get hurt, he's an interesting guy to keep an eye out for. If you own Romo in a dynasty league and you can't, you know, get a good trade for him, I would definitely be holding on to Prescott if you were counting on Romo to, you know, be your quarterback one. He's definitely a guy I'd say it's close to a must-own, depending what else is out there on your waivers. And then, you know, like, as of now, we got Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg as Geno Smith's backup. I mean, really, if you told me any of those three guys are going to be starting on opening day, I wouldn't be shocked. That New York Jets quarterback job's a mess, but whoever does win that starting job is going to have some, you know, quality weapons to throw to on the outside. With that being said, that'll wrap up the bulk of our quarterback talk here. Like I said, a lot of the listeners here are probably going to be playing, you know, your 10, 12-team league, so you can wait on a quarterback. You don't want to spend too much on a quarterback. Like I said, if I'm missing out on, you know, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or Andrew Luck, I have no problem waiting till around 8 or 9 and grabbing two of those guys kind of in that, you know, 12 to 16 tier, grabbing those guys in maybe back-to-back rounds and playing the matchups. So I won't, you know, bore you guys with too much quarterback talk. We'll save, you know, some of the longer podcasts coming up when I break down running backs and wide receivers. Got a couple of guests I think I got lined up, so hopefully in these next shows I'll be able to bring someone on so it's not me just rambling on talking to myself, so we can, you know, kind of get a little bit of a back and forth and a little bit of, you know, different opinions and ideas thrown out. And that would definitely be something I think would be valuable as a listeners. But with that being said, that'll wrap up my first show. You know, if you liked what you hear, go ahead and leave me a review on iTunes. It should be up there now. If you didn't like it, leave me a review on iTunes so then let me know where I can get better. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at DinoBball. For those that don't know, I also run a fantasy basketball site dedicated towards dynasty leagues. That's actually where I kind of came in contact with Josh and, you know, kind of became acquainted with him. So, you know, check that out if you're a basketball fan. Obviously, you know, check out the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It's, you know, the best in the industry, I feel pretty confident in saying. I do believe that the Red Rock Fantasy Baseball Podcast is on the way if it's not out already. So if you're, you know, a fantasy baseball player, check out that. And with that being said, that'll wrap up our show for today. So until next time, we'll talk to you later.